think it's all about the pressure. Like, if you have that pressure on yourself and then you just have that mentality, it's like, it's, you have to do this. Otherwise, you have to go back to something you don't want to do. If, like, I think that if the incentive is that big, then, you know, that really makes sense. Do you think that's what pushed you?
100%. Like, it was either this or, like, I had no plan B. Like, I knew I wasn't going to college. Like, if I didn't make this work, I would just be, like, end up in, you know, a box somewhere. So, I literally had to make this work. Yeah. Like, there's no plan B. There's no out. Like, it was either this or this, you know? So, yeah, that pressure definitely helps. It's just, like, I had to make this work. What is up, everyone? I am Jeremy Degg. I run Nomad Consulting. Excited to be here, guys.
Yeah, so you scaled your agency to 120K in only 90 days, right?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Dude, honestly, like, it came from, like, a stem of just, like, wanting it so bad. Because in the beginning, like, it was either college or, you know, the agency. And I was being pushed pretty hard by my parents to, like, go to college because, like, I've pretty much wasted, like, a year and a half just, like, not doing anything. And they told me, like, yeah, it's time for you to go to college. Like, you're pretty much not doing anything. And I knew I didn't want to go to college. So I chose the path of the agency, just, like, ramp that up as far as I could so that I can avoid the college talk, you know?
So you started this during your, like, late senior year or?
Yeah, I started when I was, I'd say, like, a year after I graduated, so, like, 18.
Oh, so you had taken a gap year and then basically they gave you an ultimatum. It's like, you either go to college or you make this agency work, basically, or.
Exactly. Yeah. They gave me an ultimatum for, like, a year.
Yeah.
And then within that year, I still didn't do anything. I was pretty lazy.
Yeah.
And then now they're like, you know, you got to go to college. I'm like, you know,
That's actually really interesting. You ever hear of Henrik Wold? Like, he's Hen's Advice. He's, like, getting really big in the SMMA space on YouTube.
I haven't heard of him. No.
Nah, so he legit had the exact same story as you. He's from Norway, right? But when he was he had literally dropped out of high school, and he told his parents, like, you know, give me 4 months and I'll legit do this and I'll make a lot of money, right? And in the first 3 months, he does, like, literally nothing, right? And he's just playing video games the whole time, right? And then when he realizes that he has only 1 month left, then this guy, he literally starts doing 2,000 outreach a day. He's booking 5-10 calls per day, closing clients every single day. And then I think it's all about the pressure. Like, if you have that pressure on yourself and then you just have that mentality, it's like, it's, you have to do this. Otherwise, you have to go back to something you don't want to do. If, like, I think that if the incentive is that big, then, you know, that really makes sense. Do you think that's what pushed you?
100%. Like, it was either this or, like, I had no plan B. Like, I knew I wasn't going to college. Like, if I didn't make this work, I would just be, like, end up in, you know, a box somewhere. So I literally had to make this work. Yeah. Like, there's no plan B. There's no out. Like, it was either this or this, you know? So yeah, that pressure definitely helps. It's just, like, I had to make this work.
So you had 3 months from when your parents gave you the ultimatum, or?
Yeah. So it was, like, 2 months actually. Okay. 2 months until, like, the college semester started. And within those 2 months, like, I just scaled as fast as possible. I had a mentor at that time, scaled as fast as possible. And I had, you know, a few clients within those 2 months, just, like, ramping up an e-com agency, like, you know, whatever, pretty much, like, whatever everyone told me, like, oh, e-com saturated, like, I don't care. Like, I need to make this work. I'll do whatever it takes. So yeah, 2 months took me, you know, got, like, a good amount of clients. I don't know how much exactly. After that third month, I finally hit my first 10K month, and I was like, okay, now's the time to kind of break the news to my parents. Funny enough, like, the whole time I was in my room, they thought I was, like, in online college, but the whole time I was just, you know, scaling my agency.
Wait, how did they just not know? Like, how does that even happen? How did they just, like, not figure out you're not in online college?
Yeah, like, it's funny because I was just in my room just, like, working on my college. Just I was just telling them, like, yeah, I'm just working in college. It's pretty harsh. Like, okay, cool.
Oh, really?
Then, yeah, the funny thing is, like, during that third month, you know, it was funny because, like, she's like, okay, I know that you're in college, but, like, you have to show me your grades now. Like, the semester is, like, about to end, so you got to show me. I'm like, oh shit, like, I didn't even know how to get into the classes, like, in online school.
Yeah. So what did you do?
Let alone check my grades. Yeah. So what I did was, like, I hit my first 10K month. I'm like, okay, it's either, like, I have to break the news to them, like, in some kind of, like, cool way that, you know, that hits hard to them. So I had a call with my mentor. I'm like, dude, what do I do? Like, you know, like my parents are gonna, you know, they're gonna find out I'm not in college and I'm just focusing on this. Like, okay, you know, try to get their blessing, take them to dinner, you know, spend some money on them and just like show them the vision. So that's exactly what I did.
No, I saw that post on your Instagram about how you took your parents to dinner. You said you were making like 30K a month and then like you sent them a whole letter or something at the dinner.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like, that's basically the whole thing. That's the whole story of like, you know, of the dinner. So firsthand, I just like, you know, took them to dinner. It was somewhere like, I think the restaurant was called like Il Cielo.
Yeah.
Yeah, just show them like, yeah, like I don't think college is for me. You know, I want to focus fully on this agency. Like, this is the community I'm in. This is how much I've made so far. And I'd love to get your blessing. And, you know, it was real. I was really, really nervous.
What did they say?
Yeah. I mean, like, I was so nervous, even though I was hitting, like, you know, it was my first 10K month. You know, I have pretty traditional parents. Well, my mom more so pretty traditional.
Yeah.
You know, they said it was pretty funny because, like, she's like, okay, cool. Yeah, I see what you're doing. As long as you're passionate, like, go for it. Like,
really? Damn.
Was that easy?
Wait, like, hold on. You're Asian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah. So you're telling me you have Asian parents that were just like, go do you.
No, it was more so like here's the thing with my parents. It's like,
yeah,
they know college is like the traditional route only because like it's, you know, a solid route that you can take to have like a good career. So as long as I show them that I have a good career, like even outside of college, and that I'm passionate about it, you know, that's pretty much like all that really matters. And I think that honestly goes for a lot of parents. Like they only know college because it's a solid route. And if you show them a solid route outside of college and you have like a proof of concept, then they're more than happy to kind of be sold on the vision as much as you are. So that's exactly what I did.
It was like once the money's there, essentially, then they can kind of see the promise in it. If the money's not there, then I feel like a lot of people would be very skeptical.
No, that is so ironic though, right? It's because if you don't have the results, they're like, you know, why the fuck are you doing this? Like, why are you pursuing this? You should be in school. You should be just studying the whole time, right? And then when you actually get the results, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, I never doubted you for a second. Like, go you. Like, it's so fucking stupid to me.
It's funny. Yeah. Yeah. It's like that. But yeah, man, like the thing is, like I did scale within like 90 days. But also, like, I've been dabbling into the space since I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, looking around. You know, Ty Lopez, he was my first ever, like, course I've ever bought in freshman year. Maybe even, like...
Wait, did you buy a 67-step course?
No, I bought his, like, social media marketing course for, like, $100, something like that.
Oh,
uh-huh. Is Ty Lopez legit?
I love Ty Lopez. He's the one that started it all.
Bro, Ty's the one who made SMMA, like, big before Iman.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because I forget what space he was in, but like, I remember people telling me about Ty Lopez, and I was like, oh, like, you know, that's cool and everything. And then like people started saying he was fake, and I was like, wait, really? And then I was like, yeah, I don't know.
He's solid,
isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know who's into SMMA though. That's interesting because I remember seeing his videos back in like 20.
He made it popular. Like Ty is the one who made it popular.
Yeah, because dude, I literally like I figured out what SMMA was in like probably 2019, like when I was a freshman, sophomore ish. But I didn't know that that's what he was doing back then. That's pretty interesting. I literally just found that out. That's actually insane.
Yeah.
Nope.
So it was first Ty Lopez. Second, it was like Iman Yaji. I dabbled into Kai Bax because, you know, he was in e-com. So I started my e-com agency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like four or five years of just doing, you know, analysis paralysis, like just reaping information without getting anything done. Invested into a, you know, a mentor with my, you know, my mentor, Trey Cockrum. And then right after that, just like scaled as fast as possible because like I actually took action on what I've learned. You know, I think that's the most important thing. Like, you know, imperfect action is the most important thing rather than just like reaping all the information and then not doing it at all.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
What are the steps you took to scale?
Yeah.
So in terms of like the steps, man, like it was, I was pretty clear on the process. But like I was clear on the niche, the process, but I didn't know like really how to get leads. I knew that was the most important part in an agency, like getting leads, because like it's pretty much like the lifeline of the business. Like it's who you sell to, who you tell your offer to, stuff like that. So yeah, I knew that I needed to have like a solid system to get leads from. And I think that's like what separated, you know, pretty much all the e-com agencies against mine, is that I had a proven system to get leads from. So yeah, I started with like Facebook organic and joining groups. Having that whole entire method and just like never really stopped just sending DMs.
Oh, so you just relied on like myip.ms basically?
So it was just on Facebook. Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow. That's for me. I thought like, I think the best way for getting leads, like, especially like when I started like doing these e-com things was literally going to like using Snovio, but using every single e-com platform I could find. Like, let's say I type the Shopify IP address, I would copy and paste it into Snovio, and then they would just auto generate like hundreds of thousands of leads that way. But like just personalizing each single freaking lead, like it took so long. Like, yeah, to actually figure that out. But I don't know. I don't understand how did you get to 10K in 3 months? Like, especially, did you buy multiple burner domains? Or because, like, just to warm up these emails, like, how did you not bust your email?
If that, dude, I stepped away from cold email. What? Yeah, I didn't do cold email anymore. Like, I
oh, you didn't do cold email? Oh, you just did DMs.
In the beginning, I did. So yeah, it was, what was that platform called? Lemlist. Yeah, I used Lemlist.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and I had like 200 different, like, what is it called, like, lead lists. You know, none of them converted. I'm like, okay, cold emails ass. Like, it's kind of hard to personalize and have a connection with
the client. How many cold emails did it take you to book your first client?
Dude, I only had one call, and the funny thing is, like, out of all those calls, it was just one, and I no-showed it because I was terrified.
Bro. Yeah, no, it's like, it's actually, yeah, no, but that's the thing they say between like doing consulting versus doing SMMA is like at consulting, it feels like you're more of the employer, and then people pay for your service and they're like, oh my God, thank you for having me work with you. Right. But in SMMA, it's the opposite. It's like, you're the employee working for them. Right.
Yeah, you cut off there a bit, but it was like more so like you thinking, or the agency feeling like they're an employee.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, like the thing is, like, as you scale, like, you feel like you're working a 9-to-5 job, you know, but also like it still works. It's like a really good agency. It's a really good like business model, rather, and you can definitely take it far. You can have that whole, you know, nomad lifestyle with it. I think the main thing is just like, as you scale, you have to have really good results and make sure that you have like a certain framework in place that shows that, okay, you know, I guess like you can't really walk all over me. Cause I remember at the time, like I was on like a little trip, you know, for like a quarter trip with my agency, and I have like a client just blowing up my phone about some ad work when we already did the ad work, all the systems were in place. So yeah, I think the main thing is like, you got to set the frame and you got to make sure you have solid results, so it doesn't seem like you're working in a 9-to-5.
Yeah. So were you doing all of this yourself, or were you basically like hiring people off Upwork to do this for you?
Yeah, so funny story with the media bar. I had a media bar, but dude, that media bar was really like, he was not the best. I don't think I've ever really
told anyone. So hard to find a good media buyer. It is so hard. Like, I don't know what to do.
But yeah. So with the media bar, media bar, it's pretty funny because like, my last ever media bar, he showed me like all his results, you know, showed me like what he can do, all the things, like everything, just like selling me on the vision, like this guy's a unicorn. But then turns out later, like, this guy is like basically like lying the whole time. I don't know why I didn't see through that, but I had like a good amount of clients, like a lot of clients at the time, and he was doing all the ad work, consulting them on how to do ads, you know, set up campaigns and all that stuff. Turns out he barely like knew how to do anything, and he was kind of just like faking the whole time.
Yeah, I got
Yeah, it was a really bad situation. Clients were mad. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's just like, you know, faking everything.
No, that's like the one thing I'm worried about, because I know that all these gurus say that you don't need to learn everything on your own, right? You just have to know as much as you can in order to sell the product. But the thing is that, let's say you hire a media buyer and then you have a $6,000 per month client on a 3 month retainer. And then let's say the media buyer screws up, and then you just keep getting bad reviews all around because they're managing like three or so clients, right? Then like, what are you going to do when the media buyer is gone and you don't know how to run the ads yourself? Like, that's where I'm confused. Like, how do you even get around something like that?
Yeah, honestly, like, that's the one mistake I made. Like, I scaled to 10K per month without even knowing how to run a solid ad.
Really? Like,
I was relying solely on... I was relying solely on media buyers.
Yeah, outsourcing. And, yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. And the worst part about that is like, yes, you can do that. Like, I obviously did it, but like, the clients, like, the results don't last. Like, they're not good results because like, you don't know what you're hiring for, because like, you don't know the solid results in place. You don't know like what a solid media buyer has to do. just like everything, the ins and outs of like running a solid ad, like you have no idea how to do that. So like you're obviously going to make the wrong hire because you don't know what to look for specifically. And same thing goes with like, I'd say hiring a sales rep, hiring an appointment setter. Like at the beginning, you have to know how to do it yourself. You have to know how to do sales yourself. You have to know how to book calls yourself, because you know, if you hire somebody at the beginning, you know, it's like you don't know exactly what you're hiring them for, you know, because like at that time, if they book in like 2 calls a week, you're gonna think that's pretty solid. But as you scale, like if you book in 6 calls a day, you know, 2 calls a week is shit.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I got you.
Yeah, so like as you scale, you gotta have like a solid media buyer that is at least doing 6 a week or more, yeah. Because that's their only job.
There's this guy named John Danes. He said this quote that it is better to do like if someone who can do 10 calls a day and then book one client, his whole mindset was doing 100 calls a day to book 10 clients. And then that's how he scaled so fast. Mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. He got to like 30K in 3 months or something like that.
Yeah, man. It's a numbers game at the end of the day. Yeah. Like you got to know your numbers.
I think that's what these gurus don't tell you, that everything is about the numbers. Like I'm pretty sure the formula is like 2000 emails, cold emails like that are personalized for one client. And then 150 Upwork outreaches.
Yeah, man. Like, I think that's like the most important part for sure. Like you hit it right on the nail. Like, mm-hmm. Let's say you send, you know, 20 messages and you book one call out of those 20 messages. And, you know, let's say it takes you 4 calls to close one client, $2,500 offer. Now you all need to do is send like, what is that? Like 2 times 4, like 80 messages to close like one client. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, 80 times four, that's like 10K already with a, you know, $2,500 offer.
Yeah, so. I know. That's what makes it insane. But I don't think a lot of people know about this. And I think a lot of people think that they can send a couple hundred outreach and they're going to book a client right away. And then mm-hmm. when they don't, and they're only sending like 10 outreach emails a day, they're like, oh, yeah, SMMA is a scam. And, you know, that's how it's saturated in that sense. But it's not really saturated because those people don't realize the mistakes and then they'll just like leave the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're thinking emotionally rather than logically. That's the best part about like your numbers. Like when you see a drop off, check your numbers, see where you went wrong, and then just go from there. Like if I were to give one advice to like one solid piece of advice to like an agency owner, track your numbers. Like that is the most important thing. If you're not tracking your numbers, you're running your agency blindly because you don't know like your KPIs. You don't know how many calls it takes for you to close a client, how many outreaches it takes for you to close a client, just stuff like that. Also, just like consistency. If I would have quit a month in from not booking calls, then you know I would have never scaled to 10K.
Exactly. Because I think this is it's not linear with SMMA. I feel like for the first 3 to 4 months, it might take you like literally thousands of emails. You don't book any clients, and then maybe you book a client in the first 4 months or so. But and then after that, it just starts to quickly rise. Like I know you ever hear of a guy named Patrick O'Driscoll? He's like a small and upcoming YouTuber in the space. Like
haven't heard of him now.
Yeah, so I think in 4 months he had not booked any clients. He was in the fitness industry, right? So he's doing like gyms. So mm-hmm. he books his first client for $2,500 a month in literally like 4 months in, and then just through that one client, that connection legit became his partner. And then through that, they were able to like combine their expertise. On like he didn't want to be a co-founder because he thought that was like dangerous. But by the end of 12 months, they had scaled together to like 36K per month or something like that. But like that's like really interesting to me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's like all about knowing your numbers, consistency, see drop off, keep going, find out where you went wrong. Just, you know, hold the line from there.
So like if you were to advise someone to like follow the steps, like the first 5 steps to achieve 10K a month SMMA, like what would you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd say first thing is obviously like find a solid niche. The thing with like finding a solid niche is like you can't niche hop. Like you need to find one niche, one platform, like one offer, one everything. So find your offer in place, find the niche you want to serve. Then after that, I'd say find a means of like getting results. Find a means of getting results, like a media buyer, just like learning the ropes of your actual service, whether it be like TikTok, UGCs, you know, organic marketing, anything like that. So, and then the third thing is finding a means of getting leads, like actual book calls. And then after book calls, I'd say like sales, after sales. Honestly, those four are pretty solid. I'd say just like offer, means of delivering your offer, you know, leads, and then sales. I'd say like only four, honestly.
Yeah.
What are your tactics on sales calls? Like, how do you go about like your tonality and your like, you know, what specifically you're saying to them, what you're selling them on? Can you just like give us a breakdown of that?
Yeah. So the most important thing with sales calls is how personalized you can make it, on the call. Sort of like a good messaging platform where you kind of like message back and forth and then you book a call from there. Same exact thing with sales is basically using, I don't want to sound like kind of like twisted, but like using their words against them, you know, like tailoring all their pain points to your actual offer. So for instance, like, let's say you needed help with organic marketing, you're booking just like one call a week, very unqualified. So, you know, with my offer, it's obviously like helping you with organic marketing. So I would say like, yeah, we'll help you book 3 to 6 calls a week, all qualified consistently. That's exactly what you need, using your words against them. And just kind of like going from there, like you utilizing every single pain point that they tell you into your offer, making it more of like a no-brainer.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. So then what do you feel about, cause I know, Iman Ghazi was saying like to sell the meeting, like when you're on a call with somebody, like I've heard other people say like sell the services. Like, where do you stand on that?
Sell the call for sure. Sell the call. Like, okay. you're not there to like selling the service is for the call. Like, you're selling the call before you, like, whether it be like cold email messaging. Sell the call first. You know, you want to take it in steps. And then once they're on the call, sell the service. But the framework is like still in place for sure. Like, what gets them on the call is what gets them sold on booking a call with you is the same reason they'll use to buy from you. Same framework. Just like, if you understand that marketing sales is very similar, then you can scale pretty fast.
Got it. Okay.
So do you think that people should just like, if they want to start an agency, they should just jump into FB ads right away? Or do you think they should build cash flow first through something like Upwork?
Honestly, like you can choose any service, to be honest, like as long as you know how to deliver that service and research it, have a good understanding of it. That's really all that matters.
So in those 3 months, like did you like book 10K at the end of 2 months, like, and it came really fast, or was it really just spread out?
Like, are you saying like, was my first 10K month, like just the third month?
Yeah. Like, was it scattered, or was it just going into 10K? Like, it just happened really fast.
Yeah. So in the beginning, like first month, it was like 2 clients.
Yeah.
Okay. Third month, it was like 5 clients. And then, or second month, it was 3 clients rather. For third month, 5 clients.
Yeah.
And then the last month it was like 6 or 7. Yeah. For like a ROAS deal plus, you know, a base service fee.
Okay. And from there, like, how did you scale from 10K to even further numbers? Like, did you start learning them yourself, or did you just hire more media buyers? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, I had the same media buyer in place. I just like signed more clients. And then once like I realized like I hated doing ads, you know?
Yeah.
Cause it's funny, like how I actually transitioned into consulting was like, I was on an airplane, like a plane ride, you know, going from LA to New York.
Yeah. And
it was like, this guy messaged me. He's like, how much for one consulting call? You know, he's an e-com brand. He's an e-com agency owner. Yeah. I'm like, oh shit. Like I'm kind of in the big dog. It's like, this guy's paying me for 1 hour.
Yeah.
I was on the plane ride, bought Wi-Fi, and I sent him an invoice. I think it was like $300 for like an hour. So I sent it over.
300 for an hour? God damn. Wow.
Maybe it was like 290. I'm not sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I sent that over in the plane, on the plane, pays on the plane. I'm like, oh shit. Like it was during like December. I was like watching Elf, you know, on my laptop. I just see like the invoice like pop up.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So then that's like when I actually hopped on that call, that was like in my hotel room or Airbnb rather. And I realized like this 1 hour of consulting this e-com agency owner on how to help him book calls was way more fun than like hours upon hours on ad work, like doing ad work.
Yeah.
You know? So that's when I kind of switched. And I honestly, like, you know, like I just didn't like the e-com space in general. Uh-huh. And yeah. And I'll honestly, like after switching into consulting, I had some rough months. Like genuinely, I had some pretty rough months. Like there's some months I was making like a grand, maybe even $500 for like a month.
Wow.
Cause like that drop off was just like, yeah, it was like 15K down, 10K. And then
why would you make that? Like, you took that risk automatically. Like after you booked that $300 call, you were like, no, I want to like leave the agency. And then I just want to do this consulting thing. And that was
I'd say it was like a week, 2 weeks after.
How much were you making with the agency by then per month?
It was like 15. Yeah.
Why would you do that? If you're making 15K per month off your agency, why would you just automatically drop it after like 2 weeks and just say like, you know what, screw this, I want to go into consulting? Like, that's a really bold move.
Yeah. So I handed it off like as I kind of scaled my consulting business. So I didn't drop it off like right away because I would have been dumb. You know, I still had some cash flow coming in.
Yeah.
I was just like slowly handing it off. And then once I kind of found some solid like revenue coming in with the consulting business, that's when I'm like, okay, now it's time to just go full stream on this. Cause I knew the value of like one offer, one niche. So if I focus on just the consulting at scale and kind of had that solid foundation in, you know, I knew it was going to be way more profitable. Now, drop off, and now I'm back to like 15K, 20K, just reaching those numbers with the consulting business. Eventually just like a mil a year for sure. That's where I'm taking Nomad Consulting, and it's just a matter of time.
When do you think you'll hit a mil a year?
I'd say like, I'm 20 right now. I'd say by 22.
22, damn.
Good stuff.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
So do you think that like all these people are saying that in the next 5 years or so, right, SMMA is going to get like really saturated and it's going to be really hard to become profitable by then? Like, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I'd say like, there is some saturation because like everything that is like that, there's a lot of people in, like there's going to be some kind of like quote unquote saturation, but like, this is honestly the most recession proof business you can get into.
Yeah.
Like, everyone needs a service. Everyone needs help. Everyone's creating businesses, whether that be e-com brands or gyms. Everyone needs help with their business, whether that be Facebook ads, TikTok, UGCs. There's like everything you can do. And there's like an unlimited amount of businesses you can help, unlimited amount of services you can help. It's really just about like staying consistent and like having the vision in place. Like, dude, I started with e-com. At that time, everyone was saying e-com was saturated, but still scaled it to 15, you know? I'd say like it is quote unquote like there's a lot of people in the space, but that doesn't really generally mean that it's not scalable. It's still very, very scalable for sure.
I think e-com's saturated. I just think that maybe like, let's say you started in 2007, 2008, then it would maybe take 10 emails to land one client because there was literally no one in the space. But now it takes around probably 2000. And I think that number is just going to keep growing. But that's why I think that if you start a marketing agency, like I would literally do exactly what you would do. Like, by the time I reach your age, like go into consulting, build a personal brand, and then from there create an online course and then like basically do e-learning work. And then I think that way, like that's the way people are going to scale to millions of dollars per year. Like, do you think with your consulting agency, you're going to be making 10 million per year one day? Or do you think what you would use that as a stepping stone onto something else like you did with SMMA?
Yeah. So with this business, like a mil a year is a baseline. Like I literally have to hit that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the same mindset I had like when I was first starting out. Like I had to hit 10K. Like I had to not go to college. That's the same exact mindset that I have in terms of getting to a mil a year. Mm-hmm. But like honestly, like in general, like with my whole entire life,
yeah,
you know, not even talking about like consulting business, like I'm gonna like impact like millions of people's lives. Like, that's my mission. That's my goal.
That's your legacy. Yeah, I got you.
That's my legacy. Like, I'm going to impact millions of people's lives. I'm going to change how the youth think, just, like, about themselves. Like, have a better self-image of themselves. Like, that's, like, one thing in terms of, like, changing people's lives. You know, there's no set way specifically. I just know I'm going to make a bigger impact. And I honestly, like, God is, like, making that vision clear, like, every day.
Which is, that's really cool. Like, do you think that like you're gonna, are you doing YouTube right now?
Dude, I should hop on YouTube. I need to get on
that. Go on YouTube.
You could definitely get some stuff. Or like maybe have a TikTok and give like little bits of like consulting stuff maybe, or like SMMA stuff, and then use that to help grow YouTube.
Like the smallest, like I think the most popular creator below Godzi right now, like that, like has full-fledged SMMA channels. They're like at 10 to 15,000 on YouTube right now. But the thing is, like, there's this guy, like he goes to IU, like Indiana University right now. He's like a freshman, but he started a YouTube channel literally like a month ago, right? His name's like Leo Verdeccia. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but so legit, like he started uploading videos like a month ago. The guy got 1,000 subscribers legit in 30 in I think in 15 days, and the only videos he made was the truth about SMMA 1 month in. And
well, I think I've seen that.
All those videos come up, right? And then it was that video. And then, no, I think if your like debut video was legit 0 to 15K, how I did it, and then like with your consulting agency, how I scaled my consulting agagency to this amount, like that's like that gets views.
Because those like are like clickbaity ish titles that like people will click on them, and then like you'll provide value. You know, those keep coming back to your channel.
I don't think it's just the clickbait though. I think it's also that like right now, I think SMMA is in its prime. Like it is maybe now. Like that's why I think it's great to get into it now, because if you invest, let's say you make like let's say you really hit it big, right? Let's say you make 250 to 300 grand in the next 6 months, right? And then you invest all of that, like you can literally set yourself up for life with the bear market. So like I think that's really interesting, and I feel that a lot of like in 5 years, it's like with Apple, right? In 1975, no one knew shit about Apple, right? They would have thought investing $1 million into it was the stupidest thing you could do. But then 40 years later, bam, people are like, yeah, Apple is so respected, right? I think it's the same thing with SMMA, but like in 10 years or so, right, everyone's gonna know about this business. It's gonna be really saturated. Maybe now it takes 10,000 emails to land one client, but hopefully by then someone's invented a software where AI personalizes cold emails for you. But I doubt that's like probably 20, 30 years away. But I feel that like just doing something like this, like a lot of people, like they are working hard in the traditional path because they think it's the only way to generate that money, generate that cash flow. But you, on the other hand, you figured it out. You figured out there is another way. You figured out that you can make more than a freaking like triple, quadruple what kids your age are making just by creating a product that everyone else thought was a scam. And that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. Dude, you guys make me excited for YouTube for sure. And dude, like I definitely like that you said that SMA is in its prime. Like that's a fact. Like SMA is getting huge. Yeah. And what that means for like consulting, like more people are going to need help.
Yeah, exactly. I think that a lot of people, like if you search how to make money online, I think like just crypto, NFTs, drop shipping, e-com, all that comes up, right? But the thing is, like, I don't think people realize that with drop shipping, e-com, all that, like you have to put a lot of money in. And it's like, it's way more high risk. And then like, I think there's a lot of econ people and dropshipping people that end up discovering SMMA like a year into it. And they're like, oh my God, like I should literally do this. Like how have I not seen this before? And then they just literally binge watch Iman Ghazi. They watch all his student interviews. They get Agency Navigator. They get Agency Transmutation. They get all these courses, right? And then like, that's how they figure it out. But like, it's honestly so surreal to see people that are like literally our age, like 17, 16 years old, right? And then they're booking $10,000 clients every single month. And it's really just insane to see.
Yeah, man. Yeah. For sure. Like that's exactly like how I got inspired as well. Like Kai Bax.
Kai Bax is great. Yeah, he's a great YouTuber.
He's 18 years old, made his first like I think like 100K, maybe a mil. I'm not really sure. But like that's what inspired me. I'm like obviously like, if he can do it, like I gotta do it, you know.
They're all like 16 to 22 too, which is like really cool.
Insane. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, man, like consulting business is helping agencies, building a personal brand. That's exactly what I'm doing, like through Instagram. I'm just trying to get that up, making reels and stuff like that. So yeah, I think YouTube can be really profitable and just like a really good stream. Cause that's like one of the things I want to get into, YouTube. So yeah.
You can do like the trifecta. Yeah. You can do YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all three. And you can make the same video and literally upload it on all three platforms and get views from all three. I see a lot of creators do that. Cause like personally, I don't have TikTok. So whenever I'm on like YouTube or Instagram and I'm like looking through reels and stuff, I see just TikToks that people made on their other channels that they just post on here. Mm-hmm. So I think we take advantage of that.
No, hey, I honestly think that with a consulting business, I think that I think that like if I were to start one today, right, the number one thing I would do is YouTube because like and personal branding, because if you think about it, like if you try to send outbound leads as a consulting agency, like have you ever done that, right? Like you try to outreach as a consulting agency, like yo, please pay for this and I'll help coach you. Like I don't know, it just sounds like weird to me, you know? Like it's different than just saying like I'll help you with your ads, for example, right? Because I don't know, it's just I feel like people would be more offended by that and then they're like less likely to buy. But with a personal brand, like people see your YouTube, they're like, oh my God, he's so credible. He's done all this. He's explaining the steps. They would literally reach out to you for you. So everything's inbound.
Yeah, man. So, like one of the thing with that is like,
yeah,
I tell all my clients right now, like even Facebook ad agency owners, like I tell them all of them to like build a personal brand.
Yeah.
Whether it be like reels, like anything.
I see your reels. They're really cool.
Thanks, man. Yeah, like that's like one of the reasons, like, you know, it brings that personal ability. Like people want to work with people that they know, like, and trust. What separates like a beginner and like a beginner person in the consulting space versus, like, you know, let's say like a big dog, Trey Cockrum, is really just like his personal brand and seeing who he is, right? Like people just like want his proximity when they pretty much like enter the program, you know? And it's like the same exact service at the end of the day, like consulting people with their agencies. Of course, like he has that upper hand of like going in the space for a long time, but yeah, just at the end of the day, it's like the same kind of service, but it's just like his amount of personability and like his brand authority, you know? So that's exactly like why I kind of want to, like, you know, bring that up. YouTube, tell my clients to bring that up as well. Yeah, I think it could be really good.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited to see what you have, especially on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, everything. Dude, I'm excited for you.
I'm gonna do some Dana Live videos, some vlogs as well.
Yeah, see, yeah, that's the thing about YouTube too. You know, you can mix it up with your content. Mm-hmm. It keeps people on their toes.
Yeah, you could be like Iman and start off as a bodybuilding channel.
Yeah, I would do some like apartment tour videos, LA life videos or whatever.
Yeah, you just gotta like notice patterns in like people's videos, like, you know, good camera quality, good like interesting visual background, like just like tone of voice. It's like very simple stuff that like I feel like they're like sort of unconscious cues for like the listener, just like, you know, those things are present and they're like, oh, like I like that. I don't know what it is, but I like that. I'm gonna keep watching.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I saw like Richard. Like you, what'd you say?
Yeah, I say like with YouTube, it's like just reeling them in through like a hook, and then just showing your personality. That's really all it is.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. No, I honestly think that like the whole thing of YouTube, though, I think the whole like formula behind it is that if you provide value, you'll get something back in return. And then like just with this podcast, like what I've realized is that no one's going to listen to a podcast that does not provide value. Like that's the only reason they would take the time out of their day to do something like that, right? And if you were to create something where you're just joking around with your friends the whole time, no one's going to watch that because it's a waste of time to them, and they don't want to spend their precious and valuable time doing something like this. So like if you actually provide value, you provide tips and advice, and you get people that are going to like help them hit their goals like on the podcast, then, you know, they're gonna keep coming back, and it's like the podcast retention, like kind of like client retention in a sense.
Facts. Yeah, whoever's listening to this, you can scale your agency at 16, 17, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
main thing is just consistency, knowing your offer and knowing your numbers at the end of the day. Just like get started. That's the main thing. Imperfect action. Just take that imperfect action, you make anything happen.